Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast from Grace Anglican Church of Grove City, Pennsylvania. Our goal in every sermon is to proclaim the bold truth of the Word of God, especially the undiluted grace of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn more about our church, check out our website at graceanglicanonline.com.
One man come in the name of love. One man come.
This evening I want to speak about moving from death to life. Now this is not a natural transition, but it's the most amazing of all transformations. Endless great books have depicted this change in the lives of their characters at some form. Two of my all-time favorites are The Count of Monte Cristo. An unjustly convict is left to die in a dungeon, yet escapes to pursue revenge, only to come to the realization that redemption is better. Or Les Mis, where the thief experiences the grace of the bishop and turns his life around. How about A Tale of Two Cities, or Jane Eyre, Crime and Punishment, A Christmas Carol, Unbroken, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2, Return of the King, All the Light We Cannot See. We're fascinated by these texts because they speak to our souls about a longing that is embedded in every human being. A longing to be free, to be seen, to be loved, to be included, to be made whole again. Many of the greatest stories employ this redemptive theme, and all of them, whether we realize it or not, are echoes of the greatest of all stories, which we consider this evening, that of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let me remind you of the opening prayer from Good Friday, a couple days ago, Stations of the Cross Liturgy. We began with these words, Almighty Father, God of power and mercy, in love you sent Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might be cleansed from sin and live with you forever. Last night, the concluding prayer from the liturgy stated, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we ask you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of our death. And tonight's opening prayer said, Dear friends in Christ, on this most holy night in which our Lord Jesus passed over from death to life, the church invites her members dispersed throughout the world to gather in vigil and prayer, for this is the Passover of the Lord, in which by hearing his word and celebrating his sacrament, we share in his victory over death. Whether one acknowledges it or not, all humanity searches for and longs for victory over death. There's only one solution to the problem of sin and death. Jesus was sent to cleanse, redeem, and enliven. During the past 6 weeks of Lent, we spent time pondering our sinfulness. We've practiced the spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude and almsgiving, prayer and fasting. And in their own ways, each one has helped us to understand our own sinfulness. The psalmist David reminds us, I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Tonight we gather in vigil to remember this big picture again. We need to be reminded regularly because we forget. Our life circumstances, filled with sin and its ever-present consequences, invade and get in the way of living into the biblical story of God's redeeming work through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in recent days, we walked with the Lord through his passion. Thursday, we remembered the new commandment to love one another and to serve Christ as he did by washing feet, only to realize that we can't serve in that way, or we won't do it due to our sinful lives and our own idolatry. Friday, we remembered the gruesome suffering of Jesus, rejected, spat upon, beaten, stumbling in the dirt and dung of filthy Jerusalem streets as he tried to carry his cross, placed onto that cross, laying in the grime of death where others had been crucified, nailed to the wood, and then hung up by his limbs, bleeding profusely, slowly dying for all the world to watch, gawk, mock, and shame, and ultimately to experience the wrath of God because all the world's sins were upon him. The worst and dirtiest filth and muck one could imagine and experience. Not just a physical grime, but moral and spiritual too. All of it mime that is all placed upon Jesus. The final end of all ends. Nobody comes back from that. It's finished, Jesus cries on the cross. But the story is not finished. The story is not over. And tonight we focus our attention on the transformation that occurs from death to life. This thematic thread runs through many of the passages that we read tonight. And I hope you notice them as we concentrate on one text in particular from Romans chapter 6. Tonight we celebrate the Passover, for as the opening collect says, this is the Passover of the Lord, in which by hearing his word and celebrating the sacraments, we share in his victory over death. Friends, this is a story that is not solely to be remembered as a past event, something that is back there in history, and it's a nice and comforting thought. But it is and can be your story too. And the reason we bother to remember this story at all tonight is that it's not just a sterile, theoretical, impersonal, and inactive story. This evening, we consider the work of Jesus to redeem, restore, revitalize, and enliven his people in faith. This transformation is acknowledged at the end of the service when we offer our souls and bodies to the Lord in the post-communion prayer. We pray, through Christ, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the world in power of your Spirit and to live and work to your praise and glory. It is only through Christ that anyone can be transformed from death into life. Transformation from death to life occurs lavishly in Christ, and only because of his character, nature, and his actions on our behalf in his death, burial, and resurrection, as in baptism, not with water that time, but in death. This is what we hope in. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we are without hope. And we are lost forever from life, from his eternal life. It's the church's custom to baptize people during this service. And as we did tonight, we remembered our own baptism. We renounced the devil and the spiritual forces of wickedness, the deadly deceits of the world, and our own spiritual desires of the flesh. And as we see on this night, Christ's movement in baptism comes through a key pattern that I'd like us to consider. Jesus leads us in these three steps. We die with Christ, where our sacrifices, we sacrifice ourselves to the Lord, and we join in his suffering. Second, we're buried with Christ, where we learn to rely on each other. And third, we are raised to new life, where we learn to live as heavenly people. And so it's through this movement that the believer is made alive in Christ. It's true because it's precisely the pattern Jesus demonstrated on that Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and First Easter Sunday. One commentator outlines and describes these three movements in his writings, in the writings of St. Paul. He notes that these are the means and method of living into the life of Christ, which is bestowed upon any who believe in his redemptive work on the cross. St. Paul understands that Jesus is the only and exclusive means of salvation and life. It's through Jesus alone that anyone comes to faith and makes the transformation from death to life. Transformation into Christ's life comes singularly from his defeat of death as found in his resurrection. Whenever I have the opportunity as a pastor to baptize someone, I ask them to read and meditate upon St. Paul's statement about baptism in Romans chapter 6. Because in this passage, he details how Jesus Christ enters into death through baptism on the cross in order to render death powerless, thereby reversing Adam's fall. And Paul addresses that in chapter 5 of Romans, and how he then later on ascends into life throughout his resurrection. This is for us to live into as well, and it is worth a deeper consideration for us tonight. So I'll read this passage again, and as I do, I invite you to read along with me, to look at it. Listen for the three movements: dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, and being resurrected with Christ. St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." The first movement in the pattern, we die with Christ, where we sacrifice ourselves to the Lord and join in his suffering. Six times in this passage, Paul associates believers with Christ, being united with Christ in his death. Verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and 11. Baptized into his death. By baptized into death. United with him in a death like his. Our old self was crucified with him. We have died with Christ. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin. It is therefore helpful to consider the things that we may be invited to die to ourselves. What did Jesus die to, and how can we live similarly? He dies because of all our sin that's placed upon him. Perhaps as we understand our life in Christ, we will be more willing to suffer the loss of all things, like Jesus. Perhaps we need to suffer the loss of our bragging rights, or our power, or authority, or our identity and pride in work or education. Perhaps we need to suffer the loss of our reputation as people who are willing to be with sinners and others who are different. Perhaps we need to suffer the loss in various other ways and carry a perspective that we ought to join him in sacrificing ourselves for others. Second, in the pattern, we are buried with Christ. This is where we learn to rely on each other. In Christ's death, being buried in the baptism of his own blood, St. Paul says we have died with Christ. We have died to our old self, that which is dead in us because of sin, and that which we are buried with Christ. It means we're as good as dead. And when something is dead, it's useless. Our sins no longer have power over us. That means I don't have to defend myself or work for myself. Verse 6 says, "In order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." We must die with Christ so that our sins are brought to nothing. The idolatrous nature of original sin is broken, and I can now truly live for others and their well-being. This also is done for me. The body of Christ begins to care for each other, allowing for a new beginning and new life. What of the dead body of Christ? In dying on the cross, Jesus makes a way for this body to operate differently. His people, in faith then, are able to live differently as his body upon the resurrection. Commentators note that we are only able to be his body fully as we have one faith in Christ, together in agreement about who he is and what he's accomplished, and then living out together what he expects. Ephesians chapter 4:4-6 hints at this. Paul there writes, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." As a result, we are instructed to utilize that which the Lord has blessed us with individually to the benefit of others as they have need. We're to be generous with all that is given to us by the Lord, because a dead man has no use of those things. Friday night, our beloved Ethan lost his car keys. The fellow priest and I are still snickering about that. His car actually is still sitting in the parking lot because they haven't been found. And it's a busy week of services, and being without a vehicle is a significant difficulty. But yesterday, I saw Ethan driving one of your cars. Well done. That's exactly right. We're buried with Christ, and we can give our things away because we no longer need them. Third, in this pattern, we are raised to new life in Christ, where we learn to live as heavenly people. Six times, again, Paul speaks about the implication of the resurrection here. With Christ, we are raised from the dead, verse 4. We walk in the newness of life, verse 4. We are united with him in a resurrection like his, verse 5. We will live with him, verse 8, because death no longer holds dominion over him or you, verse 9. And we are alive to God in Christ Jesus, verse 11. The implications of the resurrection for us are that we are to waste no time and work for the kingdom. Since we know how the story ends, we don't have to pay attention to our own lives, but we can offer ourselves to others. We can live as heavenly people now. This is why in pandemics past, Christians were the first ones to go into the streets and the cities to care for the sick and dying, because they knew the resurrected life. It's in this awareness and realization of the resurrection that heaven and earth overlap. And the concluding collect from the Stations of the Cross liturgy says, "Lord Jesus Christ, your passion and death is the sacrifice that unites earth and heaven and reconciles Adam, fallen race, to you. May we who have faithfully reflected on these mysteries follow your steps and come to share your glory in heaven, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen." Through Christ, through faith in Christ and baptism in him, Christians essentially have a new essence, a new being that is an accomplished fact, that is the beginning of a process that must be worked out in appropriate and holy behavior. This new essence must be seized and acted out by the believer, for there is an already and a not yet aspect of salvation. We have already been made alive in Christ and yet not fully there. The process of dying with Christ, being buried with him, and being raised to new life is ongoing in the Christian life. We enter into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection upon first believing. And again, each step of our journey is we go into Christ-likeness, because our battle against sin is not over. Walking with Christ is a continual journey through death and burial and resurrection. Yet, even as we encounter sin in this life, time and time again, our need to die to it again and again, we also get to encounter moments of resurrection in life. So we have these moments where we have to die again and again to ourselves, and we get to experience resurrection over and over as God works in and through us because of Jesus. We are welcome to join the victorious life of Christ now as we wait for our final resurrection with Him on that last day. And one day, on that last day, we won't have to reset our thinking about this, because we won't be dealing with sin that hangs on, desperately clutches us, our hearts within. Today, though, the process is one we live out over and over as the Lord guides and instructs in new ways to walk with Christ in the newness of the resurrected life. Paul has made an impassioned plea on the basis of what Christ has done for you, and on the basis of your faith and confession to act appropriately and decisively. For you are not dead in sin, but alive to God. Therefore, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, we've been baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like Christ, you are no longer bound by death to those things that bring death. Those things, actually, that we wrote on a piece of paper yesterday and nailed to the cross last night. I didn't read those. Nobody did. But I know it was there, because they're all mine, too. Pride, anger, anxiety, guilt, lying, acts of violence, addiction, a fiery tongue, work performance, the love of my own comfort, sexual abuse, overspending, self-sufficiency, judgmental heart, depression, gossip, lustful thoughts and actions, sickness, dark thoughts, a false self-image, arrogance, sexual sin, jealousy, faithlessness, boasting, hard-heartedness, lashing out with a hot temper, pornography, self-righteousness, gluttony, scornfulness, sensuality, fear, impatience, idolatry of things, people-pleasing, demand for control, adultery, selfishness, the need to be right, emotional abuser, fighting, swearing, cancer, lack of self-control, drunkenness, compulsiveness, hatred, ingratitude, resentment, a critical spirit, a lazy heart, love of money, an eating disorder, disrespect. We need an altar call. We need an altar call. If you don't know the Lord tonight, or you have questions about faith in Jesus, these priests are available to speak with you, to engage you as you come forward. In the Anglican tradition, we don't usually make an altar call as other denominations do, although each week and this evening, the altar call is to come forward to participate in the life of Christ. You'll be invited to partake in the great Thanksgiving. We call it Eucharist. The priest who celebrates says something to this effect. Listen for it when we get there in a few moments. It sounds like this: Heavenly Father, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. And then he declares, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat. Remember that Christ died for you, was buried for you, was raised to new life for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Because of Jesus, you are washed clean now. His blood now pays for and covers your sin. As a result, you are purified. Your longing to be free is now a reality. Your desire to be seen and loved has come true. Your exclusion and separation from God is gone, and you are now included. Your brokenness, weakness, and death is gone too, and you have been made whole. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and our baptism into the same, you are transformed into life. Once you were dead, and now you are alive. You are raised with Christ. Hallelujah, he is risen. He is risen indeed.